I've been very thankful to be here in this meeting, thankful to be your brother. I'm part of the family of God, and I need your prayers. Could we sing the first verse of number 233, please? Interest in your prayers, Lord, to bless His word to us this evening. I'd like to begin in the book of Matthew, the 22nd chapter. We begin considering the question that I've written on the board tonight: what will you render unto God, unto the Lord? Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Begin here in the 15th verse. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he saith unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? They say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Now they saw this as an opportunity to ensnare Jesus, to try to find fault with Jesus as a man, as an individual person, with a mission that he was about here on this earth, to try to undermine the things that he was saying, to perhaps lessen their responsibility to his words. Well, I don't really want to deal with the background of this story so much. But consider what Jesus told them. It was full of wisdom. He foiled their conspiracy, their plot right before them. And he said, Show me the coin then. Amidst all the controversy and the heated passions and feelings about taxes, as is still the case today, he said, Let me see this coin. Whose face is it that you see on this coin? And the natural response then was the person bearing that image. And he said then, that belongs unto him. But he wasn't finished with that. There's something that belongs unto God as well. And you render unto God the things that belong unto God. You give to Caesar the things that are his. But there's another component here that belongs to your life that I'm going to deal with. You make sure you're rendering unto God the things that belong unto Him. It's about more than the coins that we have in our pocket. It's about the soul that we carry within us. Whose superscription and image is upon that soul? It's God's. And I want us to consider tonight our responsibility unto our Maker and our Creator. What is it then that we should render unto God? To render is to turn back. To give back unto. I'd like to turn to the 116th chapter of Psalms. But as we're going there, I think of, want to look at what the Lord has done for us. And I think of a scripture that says, Ye are bought with a price. Therefore, because you're bought with a price, you know, every one of us, that price was paid, regardless of background, regardless of sins committed, that price was paid for every one of us. You want to consider or debate the worth that you hold? Social media platforms are full of folks trying to find and prove their worth. Folks, every one of us hold the same worth unto our Maker. And it is a worth of enormous value that He was willing to pay the ultimate price for us, for our souls. We are bought with a price. Therefore, that binds to it then an obligation. You're bought with a price, and so, what are you going to do with that price that's been paid for you? Render unto God. Therefore, glorify your God. Glorify God in your body, in your life. Tonight, what are you paying to God? There's no question but what we cannot buy our salvation. There's a debt that we owe that we can't and couldn't pay. So one came who owed no debt and yet paid ours. We are bought with a price. So what are we doing in return unto our Redeemer and our Maker? Psalms 116. I love the way this psalm begins. I love the Lord. Do you love the Lord tonight? I want you to know that what we're here dealing with this week is about more than religion. It's about more than expectations of men. And I'll go so far as to say it's about more than a fear of hell. I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplication. Are we willing to state that? First of all, is it true with us? Do I love the Lord? People are ready to share the things they love. I love opening day, they might say. Love football season, many others will say. I love Brahms ice cream, folks that don't live in Oklahoma might say. Is it okay for us to say, I love the Lord? I love the Lord because it's not enough to just say, I love the Lord. That can have kind of a hollow ring to it. But I love the Lord because, you know, sometimes those that are married, maybe you'll understand or relate to this. You ever ask your spouse or have your spouse ask you, you love me? Well, of course I love you. Why do you love me? What is it specifically that you love about me? You know, it's not enough to just say, well, we're supposed to love the Lord. But God is our reasonable service. And there is every reason to love the Lord. I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because He's inclined His ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Oh, how many people have found this in their lot of life. I found trouble and sorrow. Doesn't the song, Sin Will Take You Further Than You Want to Go, say just that? Satan makes many promises, but he delivers something altogether different. Think about the psalm that says, well, it's the 40th psalm, and I'm going to come back here to the 116th. Psalms chapter 40. It's the testimony of a man who was in trouble. I waited patiently for the Lord, thank you, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. What's the Lord done for you? Has the Lord found you in a deep, miry pit? Has he lifted you out? That song, "He Lifted Me Out," says, "I heard Satan shout, 'You're doomed now forever.'" But Jesus reached down and he lifted me out of what I couldn't lift myself out of. And I want us to realize tonight, he's still in business. He is still reaching down into the miry pits of people's lives, the tangled messes of their relationships and ruined dreams, and saying, "I can fix this for you. I'm going to come right where you are, and I'll lift you out of that miry pit, if you'll let me." This is a song of one who realized, "I was lost. I was undone. I was in trouble. I couldn't do anything for myself. And the Lord reached down and he delivered me." And it's what the Lord, if he hasn't for you, wants to do for you even tonight. So he says back to the 116th Psalm. Won't read throughout all of this, but he says, "Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful." And he says in the 12th verse, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people." What has the Lord done for you? Your testimony is exactly that. The Lord wants to give you a testimony of what he's brought you out of. It's wonderful to read from darkness to light. You read that? What the Lord did for Brother Sammons. You know, the Lord wants to give you your testimony. Wherever you might be tonight, the Lord wants to give you a testimony of what he's brought you from. "Many shall see and shall hear it and shall glorify God." And so the question came to him here, as he thought about all that the Lord had done for him. "What shall I do to the Lord then? I owe him." There is a sense of indebtedness then unto the Lord. The Lord has done so much for me. I owe him my life. He said here, "I will pay my vows." You know how many people at one point of trouble in their lives called upon God for mercy? Maybe it was in a near accident, or in a time of great physical distress, or some other need where they say, "God, if you'll have mercy on me here, then Lord, I'll..." Whatever my vow and promise to the Lord is. You know, it's important for us to remember what the Lord's done for us. This is saint and sinner alike. You know, the scripture says in the 17th chapter of Acts that it is in him that we live and move and have our being. It is because of him that we are still here tonight. It is because of his great mercies that he has not brought this world into judgment tonight. Tonight, if you're not ready to meet the Lord, you still have opportunity because of his great mercy unto every one of us. And I pray tonight that the Lord would impress upon us what he's done for us. This world has been, for a long time, pushing back against the very thought of God. Romans 1 says, because they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. They didn't want to accept even the thought of there being a God. Evolution was introduced. Apart from all the logical fallacies of an unproven theory that people have turned into a religion, you know what's behind this? Well, you see, if I acknowledge that there is a God, if I acknowledge that I am created, it means that there is a creator. And if there is a creator, if there's one responsible for bringing me into this world, surely he's able to take me out of this world. If he was there before I came here, then he'll be here after I leave. And there's something that's going to have to happen there. Maybe I don't understand and I don't want to think about it and I don't want to go there. It's much easier for me to just dismiss the idea outright. There cannot be a God. Surely there's not. But I would present to you that his fingerprints are all around in this world. Oh, I've heard... Well, I don't know if it's original to him. I've heard Brother Larry Abbott say, people anymore are like hogs in a feedlot, rushing around, picking up as much feed as they can, and never once looking up to see where it came from. Isn't that about the way this world is? And feeling like that our destiny is in our hands. The future of our planet is entirely within our control and our hands. Oh, folks, there is a God that is above us. There is a creator. There is one who spoke this world into existence. And in the midst of all the skepticism of our world today, Lord, help us to come back to the simplicity of the Word of God. In the beginning, God created. He said, as long as time lasts, there will be seed time and harvest, folks. The Lord is the one that has all of this in His hands and in His control. And that includes your and my life, and your and my breath. For if my breath is not my own, then it brings with it to me this idea that I'm indebted to the one that gave it to me. If it's not of my own, then it's just loaned unto me. If I am created, what's going to happen at the end of this? If folks, the more that we'll see and acknowledge and open our hearts in honesty unto the Lord. Lord, there's some things maybe I don't understand. But Lord, I know you are. Folks, the more we see God for who He is, the more of an obligation it puts on our hearts to serve Him. But I want us to realize what this obligation is. It's not a servitude of bondage. It's not something that we're driven unto because we have no other choice. The very reason that we can turn away from God is because He gave us the choice. Folks, this is all about serving our Maker because we realize what He's done for us. Because there's something that the eyes of my understanding have been opened to realize. Lord, you've been good to me. And I know people wrestle with the idea, if God is so good, then why do I see everything that I see in this world around me? Why do I see the suffering and the sorrow? Why are little children suffering in our world? Folks, there's some deep questions that I don't have all the answers to. But I want to tell you about the God that I found. And I want us to realize tonight that He is the author of every good and every perfect gift. That He created man upright and man sought out many evil inventions. That sin is the root and the culprit of it all. Sickness, suffering, disease, heartache, wars, and it goes on and on. It is a result of sin. And you know what this Creator did about it? Before the foundation of the world, it was ordained that there should be a remedy made, a way out, A way of escape, a price that is paid, that we can be redeemed from the penalty of sin ourselves and lifted above it. For this purpose, the Son of Man was manifested that He might destroy the works of the devil in this world to the furthest extent that mankind will allow Him to work. And to the extent that you and I will allow Him to work in our lives, this poor man cried, I believe David said in another place, and the Lord heard him. Most of you cried to the Lord. And I want to speak to those that are saved here. Maybe you've been saved for many years, thank the Lord. Do we still remember what the Lord brought us from? Do we still have before us the picture of what I was? Now, I understand Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind. We're not held, thank the Lord, in bondage to those things. The blood of Jesus releases us from that. And it blots out, obliterates the trace of Him before God. The debt of it. You know it's important for us not to lose sight of what the Lord has done for us. To not lose sight of where I'd be. You know something I found that the enemy tries to do? To children of the saints. Those that have been brought up in good godly homes and have been coming to camp meetings and have wanted to serve the Lord maybe all their life. Say, you know, you really don't have a testimony. You're the testimony of the ones that have come back and they've gone out into sin and they have a real testimony of what God has done. Oh, may the Lord give us a glimpse. A picture of what He has saved us from. What He's kept you from in this world that's around us. And may it fill our hearts with thanksgiving of what God is. And what He's done for every one of us. Oh, one scripture says, Lord, if Thou shouldest mark iniquity, Lord, who could stand? Again, do we have a proper view of who we were? Or perhaps for some, who we still are? To realize as the psalmist did, Lord, I can't get out of this one. Lord, if You still hold against me those things, Lord, I can't stand. There's no hope. The enemy would like to destroy the hope of people still today. But if we can get a glimpse of the heart of our Creator and our Redeemer, who is ready to forgive, who is plenteous in mercy, whose mercies fail not. The scripture says in the book of Hosea, it talks about the way that the Lord deals with His creation. Of all the ways that He could. And you realize the religions of mankind, the way they approach their gods. Many times it's in superstition. Not even real sure what their God expects of them. It's in fear. It's in dread. But the one true God wants to work with His creation in a different way. Hosea, the 11th chapter, says in the 4th verse, I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love. And I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws, and I laid meat unto them. You know you can't drive something with a cord, and the Lord isn't looking to try to drive you. You know what the Lord does want to do? He wants, as a song we sang, to win us by dying love. He wants to draw us. He wants to cause us to see Him and get a glimpse of Him for who He really is. to realize the great love that He has for me. And there's something about that. That song says, Lord, now Your love is breaking my heart. Folks, I'll tell you from my experience, having been raised hearing the gospel message, there was a fear of hell. There was a dread on my heart and mind of the thought of dying unprepared to meet God. That risk is no less real today. You know, that's not what has kept me over the years. I'm going to tell you over and over again, when I've come to hard places, when I've come to places that I feel like I'm over my head, I'm going to tell you there's a scene that comes back to my mind, and it is of a merciful Savior reaching down and lifting me out. It is of times such as the time that I felt that it was total despair, that I was hopeless. There's no way out of this for me. And about the time I was ready to give up all hope, I got a glimpse in my mind of myself as if I was drowning under the water, and a hand reaching down into the water for me. And I got a hold of that, and I said, Lord, I'll take that hand. And He lifted me out. And I'm going to tell you, there are scenes like that that come before me. Say, Lord, I can never leave You. Lord, I can never go back from You. And I'm going to tell you, if that is the foundation of our belief system, it'll keep you. It's about more than what the pastor holds on you. It's about more than regulations that are bound upon you by somebody. It's about a relationship with a Savior that died for me. And it's about a reciprocal feeling that rises in my heart that says, Lord, I see what You did for me. Lord, I recognize what You've saved me from. I realize what a wonderful Savior You are. Lord, I owe You my life. You ever hear the phrase life debt? More commonly used maybe in literary works. But the idea of it is someone whose life has been saved by another. And they feel as a result a lifetime of debt to their Savior. Well, there are maybe different examples of that you can think of. But I think of one in particular. It was of a sentinel. William Scott, I believe, was his name in the Civil War of the United States. This sentinel, for a host of reasons, was exhausted, and it was his duty that night to keep watch. And exhaustion overcame him, and he nodded off to sleep for a few moments. And he was reported. He was called to account for it, the penalty of which was death by the firing squad. With his execution looming, the dread of it no doubt on him, news reached President Lincoln. And there are some varying reports and details of what happened next, but Lincoln issued a pardon directly from his hand. Pardon this man. And in just a short time before the trigger was to be pulled, the word came, you've been set free, by President Lincoln himself. Folks, do we realize tonight that sin carries with it a death sentence? The wages of sin is death. And the Lord has done everything He possibly can to redeem us from that death sentence. Have you heard your notice? Have you heard your emancipation proclamation before it's too late? It was said of this young man from Vermont that he was so filled with gratitude that he served with renewed vigor in the service of his country, and that he gave his life some months later trying to rescue some of his comrades under fire. He felt a sense of debt. And it compelled him to want to go the extra mile. It compelled, it wasn't under orders then. There was something that compelled him that I'm going to give myself. And I want us to realize what this love does. When we get this picture of what the Lord has done for us, it'll compel us. You might be in a place tonight that you say, I don't feel that love. I'm going to tell you, if you'll respond to the hand that's reached out. Folks, I'm going to tell you, to know the Lord is to love Him. And the Lord wants to introduce Himself tonight. Think about this idea of rendering. You remember the story of the lepers that Jesus came upon as they were crying out for help. He healed them. Well, rather, He gave them instructions to go show themselves unto the priests, and as they went, they were healed. Oh, can you imagine the feeling of being a lifetime leper, or for however long that disease had progressed? No known remedy for it, no known cure. It had become your identity with the shame that it carried with it. I'm a leper. Stay back, unclean. I'm a leper. And to cry out one day when a man named Jesus is passing by. And with His word, can you imagine as you're walking and you look down, you feel something and you look down and your hands are clean. You realize I'm not a leper anymore. There was one man, it said, that turned back to Jesus. And falling on His face, worshipped Him. He was rendering unto Jesus. He turned back and paid to Him something that He felt compelled to do and to give. Well, Jesus said, where are the other nine? Where are the others? Where are the others tonight? Where are the others in this world? He came to die for all mankind. Yet it is a straight and a narrow way. But I'm not talking to the others tonight. I'm talking to you. What are you rendering to God? Am I one of those that is just going on my way with little thought for what the Lord has done for me? Or have I turned back and fallen on my face before God? Compelled. Oh, the song we sang tonight says, I ought to love my Savior. What heart could e'er withhold a love that costs so dearly, the offering of thy soul? Folks, that's how the Lord wants to draw us, is when we see and when we get a glimpse of the Savior hanging on a cross for us. When I can accept by faith, Lord, that was for me. That's for my situation. Folks, it'll make us compelled to serve the Lord, to follow the Lord. I think about a story we find in 2 Samuel that I won't turn to. David had been run out of Bethlehem with his men, and a garrison of the Philistines was in Bethlehem, and David was longing. Oh, if I had a drink from the wells of Bethlehem. And his men evidently had a deep respect for David. More than a respect, a love for David. David didn't constrain him. He didn't order him. They heard that their master wanted a drink from Bethlehem. And they turned and they went right through the garrison of the Philistines. I'm going for that water. Folks, that's what it is to be compelled with love. I'll tell you, the love is stronger than fear. Love is stronger than death. And if your religious experience tonight has gone no further than the fear of man, the Lord wants to win you by His love. The Lord wants to show you the extent that He loves you tonight. That we too will be compelled by love. In the book of Malachi, we come back to the question that's on the board. I want to think of what some others were rendering unto the Lord. Malachi, the first chapter. Malachi 1:8, if ye offer the blind for a sacrifice, is it not evil? If ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person? Saith the Lord of hosts. He was dealing with a people here who had lost the fear and love of God. Well, the law was limited in what it could do. Folks, the Lord has something more for us tonight than a law experience. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Folks, if we're subscribing to a letter experience, if the thing, I'm going to tell you, convictions are important. Standards are important in your life. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And I'm going to tell you, if our experience hasn't gone further than the fear of man, or the letter, I hope you understand what I'm trying to say by the letter, it's not going to be enough. The Lord's not looking tonight for our service. Well, here, and you know how many people talk about, you fill in the blank on the issue. Is it sin or is it not? And that's the defining factor. I'm going to tell you, if you move away from a letter experience, if I move away from, I'm going to go only as far as I have to go to make it inside of heaven, and not a step further. Folks, our focus is off. The Lord wants to win us by His love and compel us. That my motives have changed here now. That I'm not doing the things I'm doing because my church says so. There may be a time when I'm being raised that that's as far as my experience goes. Don't give up that experience, but don't stop there. The Lord wants us to come to the place that every one of us have a relationship with the Lord that is founded on love. The love of Christ constraineth me. And as we think about the letter, he said, it's not circumcision and uncircumcision and all the rites of the law. That's not what's going to do it. But it is this. It is faith which worketh by love. That's the foundation. It's the starting point. It's the impetus. It should be what motivates everything we do. It's how this faith works. It works by love. To know the Lord is to love Him. To love the Lord is to trust Him. May the Lord help us to realize that He has something rich for us tonight. Tonight, what are you offering? Are you offering sacrifices that are maimed, crippled, the bare minimum of what I think I can get by with? He said, is your governor going to accept that? Is that all that's due unto the Lord? Or do I say, Lord, I want to give you my all. I want to give myself, because that's what the Lord's looking for. There's a price that we can't pay to get into heaven. He's already paid it. But He wants us to give our all. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is what? Is it reasonable? Yes, it is. What will I render unto God? It is reasonable service to give our lives, to give our all unto the one that gave His all for us. He's not asked something unreasonable. And if we can but get a glimpse and a picture of what He's done for me, it changes the perspective. Think about a time in the Old Testament when they were building the temple. And they sent the call out, said, we need materials. And it says the people rejoiced because they were able to be part of it. And their hearts, it said, everyone whose heart stirred him up within him. As far as I know, the work that's been done on this campground wasn't under threat. or duress. It was from willing service of people whose hearts stirred up within them. And that's really what the service of the Lord is. Tonight, does your heart stir within you? They confessed to the Lord as they were dedicating that temple. They said, Lord, all that we have is thine. It came from your hand anyway. So reasonable service? Yeah. The Lord gave it to us in the first place. And all He asks is that we willingly give ourselves to Him. I'd like to look at 1 John now as we close. 1 John, the 3rd chapter. John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. And it doesn't stop there. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. You see, there's something that love compels within us. Whenever we realize what the Lord has done for us, whenever we fall in love with the Master, there's something within that just feels like a debt that I owe to others. You ever hear, pay it forward? When I realize what the Lord did for me, what can I do but help my brother and show him love? So think about the reverse of this for a moment. Should any one of us, saved or unsaved, saved for 50 years, begin to lose sight of what God has done for me, of what He's delivered me from? You know, it can leave us in a place that we begin to become harsh and exacting of others. Isn't that what happened to the man that had been forgiven a great debt? And he turned around and so quickly forgot what he had been forgiven. And he turned around instead and exacted much less of someone else. It can result in a carelessness, in a discouragement, in a self-focus nature, in a reluctance to give our all. But tonight, if we can perceive the love of God that He has demonstrated to us, the 4th chapter of the same book, in the 11th verse, it says, Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Perhaps tonight you're saved and wondering what's next. Folks, the Lord wants us to not live just unto ourselves, but the Lord has a work for every one of us. If I'll keep this vision of a Savior on a cross who died for me before me, do we well? You remember the lepers who went out from Samaria, gate of Samaria. Samaria had been besieged. Assyrians had come up against the city. They went out and said, if we die, we die. We're about to die anyway. Went out into the camp of the Syrians. The Lord had caused the Syrians to hear a sound, and they ran for their lives. And they found in the place of the Syrians all the good and the abundance. We heard about an abundance. We heard this afternoon about believing the benefits. Oh, the Scripture says, forget not all His benefits. The Lord daily loadeth us with benefits. Lord, help us that we not forget the benefits that He has offered unto us, but that we'll give ourselves as willing service. So tonight, as we consider, what's the Lord done for me? Is there something that stirs us up, that compels us? Lord, if I've not yielded myself to You, I want to come and let Your love break my stubborn heart. Lord, if I'm in a place that I've really kind of been living for myself, Lord, help me that my love for You would compel me, yet also said, to love the brethren, to give myself to His service, whatever that might be for you. But what compels every one of us is to be the love of God. Tonight, what are you rendering unto God? Pray for me.